Aubrey Huff joins us on Sports Byline. Outfielder, infielder who played 13 seasons in the majors for Tampa Bay, Houston, Baltimore, Detroit, and San Francisco, and he won two World Series championships while playing with the Giants. And he has a book that's coming out called Baseball Junkie, The Rise, The Fall, and The Redemption of a World Series Champion. What motivated you to write this book, Aubrey?
Well, you know what, man? I mean, people in San Francisco followed my story in 2012. I was diagnosed with severe anxiety during the season and kind of followed me into my retirement. And now out of post-retirement here, I've kind of found myself a little bit. Not to say that I don't have my bad days. I do. But I've found the tools to be able to kind of handle the anxiety now. So wanted to kind of get the word out there, help people out there that are going through the same kind of thing I'm going through or I went through, and just inspire them.
Was this a book difficult for you to write as you had to look back and try to understand how you got to the point that you got to, or was it cathartic in a way?
Well, you know, I don't even know what the word cathartic means, but I do know it was very, if it's anything like therapeutic, then yes.
Right.
Very therapeutic. You know, I've gone through several therapists, psychiatrists through my retirement, and, you know, I found that writing my thoughts down, finding out about my past, getting kind of to the root of everything that was going on inside me was more therapeutic than anything that any other doctor could have told me.
Let's go back to Mineral Wells, Texas. Describe it for me.
Well, it's the kind of town, if you drive through it in 5 seconds, you better not blink because you'll go right through it. It was the kind of town where it's kind of a historical old town. The Mineral Wells was named after the mineral springs that people would come from all over the world to bathe in back in the day. And, you know, Hollywood starlets and actors would come and use those baths. And since then, they kind of dried up, and it's kind of become a little ghost town. But I went back there about 5 years ago after the World Series, and I hadn't been back since I was a kid, and nothing has changed. I knew exactly where to go, every road, every alley, every nook and cranny. And, you know, it's not a very big town, but definitely a special place in my heart.
You were certainly challenged early in your life, Aubrey. You were just 6 years old. Your dad was killed as an innocent bystander in a domestic dispute while he was working as an electrician, and your mom had to raise you and your sister. How did you assimilate that?
You know what? I think, you know, when I started writing this book, I looked back at all the issues I've gone through in my life, and I think one of the passionate things I'm really passionate about is growing up without a father. My mom never remarried, and I think as a young kid growing up, not having that father figure around really, really wreaked havoc on confidence. Growing up, trying to understand what it takes to be a man, and my passion now with two boys of my own, 8 and 6, my passion is my children, to be involved as much as I can as a father so they don't have to go through some of the things I went through as far as insecurity, doubt, fears. I mean, they're going to have some, no doubt, life will. But it's the strength that a father can bring to kids that can kind of, I think, nudge them along. And for me, that was the biggest thing. You know, it was a tragic way my dad died, 6 years old. And it's, you know, it's tough to talk about now, even, to be honest with you. When I wrote that chapter, I never really dealt with that. And so I'm sitting there writing it at my computer. I am bawling tears reading the old papers from Abilene, the Abilene Reporter, and all the things that happened to my dad and how he died. It just brought tears to my eyes. I cried for an hour.
You know what? Confidence, and you know this as well as I do, Aubrey, confidence is such an important part for the highly skilled professional athlete. And because of that event, and as you said, it challenged your self-confidence, did that come into conflict or come into play for you as you were growing up and proceeding across the baseball?
Oh, without question, man. I mean, when I was a small kid, and you know, I went to high school in Brewer High School in Texas, and I had to walk on. I wasn't that good as a high school player. I walked on to Vernon Junior College, kind of grew up, hit a growth spurt, and I started becoming a little bit better at baseball. That's when I got a scholarship to the University of Miami. And now here I am, a small Texas kid, never really been out of Texas, going to the University of Miami. You know, I'd in my boots, flannels, tight Wrangler jeans, and a cowboy hat going down the mean streets of Miami. So you can imagine how scared I was. And I get to Miami, all these kids in the locker room, all these guys in the locker room, extra confidence, you know, arrogant beyond anything you could believe. And I was just astonished, scared to death. And I actually, for the first 2 months, was the resident punching bag in the locker room. I actually called my mom to come pick me up, to come take me home. And she told me over the phone, she goes, listen, Aubrey, if you don't give this a shot, you will never, ever, ever forgive yourself looking back at your life. And it was those words I stuck back and stayed in college and decided, you know, right then and there, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. And for some reason, whatever it may be, I just started hanging out with the guys, you know, the fellas, and, you know, being around all those guys, the baseball atmosphere, kind of grew confidence on me.
One of the things that I've found in interviewing athletes is that in the family, if there's been a tragedy like this or a separation of parents, that the woman really is a strong factor in it. And I know you talked about your mother, Fonda, in charge of raising you and your sister. Tell me a little bit about how she compensated for that and how that affected you as a child.
Well, my father passed, it was hard for everybody. You know, I'm growing up, she's a Winn-Dixie, she's working in the meat market at Winn-Dixie, going to school, trying to get her teaching degree. And at the same time, trying to raise us, my sister, who's a little younger. And so I was kind of a little baseball geek growing up, and she took me to my first Texas Rangers baseball game. Never been to one live. I've grown up in the Arlington, Texas area, and go to watch a Rangers game, and I'm down at the field for batting practice, and every single one of these Texas Rangers guys walking by, I look up at them, and these guys are like heroes to me. These are real men, right? And leaving that game, no idea who won the game. Couldn't have told you. But I told my mom in the car on the way home, I said, Mom, I want to be a Major League Baseball player. And if you get me a batting cage, I will work every day, and I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player, and I'll buy you a house and a car. Now, being a mom, working at Winn-Dixie, kind of a tall order. About 6 months later, she's putting the post hole down into the dirt, digging it herself, had some people come over, put the poles in, putting me a batting cage up, pitching machine. I hit in that thing every day. And whenever I got to big leagues, I went out and got my mom the first time I signed my big deal, a house and a car. So I think that's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it is a cool story. You were signed by Tampa Bay. And I know when you were in the minor leagues, one of your stops was in Raleigh-Durham, where you played with the Bulls there. Now, I have been at that stadium, and, of course, it's magical. It's been made magical by the movie Bull Durham, of course. What was it like when you walked into that stadium the first time?
I mean, you know what? It didn't look anything like the movie, to be honest with you. The field was, you know, I think it was actually a whole different feel at the time. I think they made the movie in a completely different area. I think if I remember, memory serves me correct, they changed stadiums, but they tried to keep it the Bull in left field and everything like that. But I tell you what, in all my stops in minor league baseball, no field topped. And to be quite honest with you, my first major league call up in Tampa Bay at the Dome and the Trop, for my money, there was more fans and a better atmosphere in Durham than there is at the Trop. So it was a pretty awesome experience to be a Durham Bull.
What was the key to you down in the minors? Because you did very well, and when you came up, you made an immediate impact at the major league level. What was the key? What got you there?
You know what? There were so many guys in the minor leagues that were hands down better than me. And I tell people this all the time. And when I got to the big leagues, these same guys would come, were up there with me. And for whatever reason, it seems like it was a deer in the headlights kind of thing when these guys got the big leagues. They would take a fastball right down the middle, get the 0-2 and swing a slider in the dirt. You could just see, like, the confidence and fear taking over them. And for me, you know, I had a little bit of that, but through all the crap I've gone through in my life with my dad dying and all the things that, you know, I'd gone through growing up, to me, that was a walk in the park. A big league call-up, you know, going to the big leagues. I mean, yes, it was a dream of mine, but, you know, it's, again, I didn't let that moment, like, overwhelm me. And I just kind of played loose, relaxed. And I think when you are loose and relaxed as a baseball player, an athlete in general, or in life in general, you're going to be successful. I mean, you just can't let fear and lack of confidence hinder you down.
When you finally came up to the majors, invariably, I've always found that there was a veteran player that put his arm around the kid, the rookie, and said, hey, I'm going to help you here. Who was that for you?
You know what? Fred McGriff. Fred McGriff was one of those guys when I came to Tampa. Funny story, I walked in the clubhouse the first day, and, you know, you're a rookie. You're walking in with your bags. The clubhouse attendant takes your bags, goes and unpacks it in your locker. I'm already shocked that somebody's packing my locker for me. And then I go to Larry Rothschild's office. Now, this is all documented in my book, all these little stories. But going to his office, and he tells me, hey, buddy, you're going to come in here. You're going to play every day. You're going to play some third. You're going to DH, play some first. Have fun. So, you know, I didn't expect to be playing every day. So I was kind of shocked. I walked out of there, and obviously I'm not much of a sweater, but that day I had a shirt on, gray, and I was pit staining all the way down the shirt. I walked out of that office, and Fred McGriff sees me. He's one of the first guys that sees me. He goes, hey, kid, come over here. So I sit down next to him. He goes, hey, man. He kind of sounds like Eddie Murphy. He laughs like it too, right?
Right.
So he says to me, hey, man, you all right? I'm like, yeah, man, Freddie, I'm just a little nervous, man. I'm breathing hard, and I'm scared. You know, he goes, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it, man. What's the worst that can happen? You know what? If you suck, you just go back down. And he walks off. right? So I'm sitting there in his locker as he's walking off laughing. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? He's right. That's the worst thing that happened. I suck. I go back to AAA. And like I said, Durham is probably a better stadium than the Trop anyway. So, but anyway, you know, it kind of calmed me down, made me laugh. And but he was the guy that kind of saw me through my first year.
Aubrey Huff is with us. We're talking about his forthcoming book called Baseball Junkie, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of a World Series Champion. We'll talk about his major league career and also the end of it with the Giants, where he won a couple of World Series. We'll do that as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline. Aubrey Huff is with us here on Sports Byline USA. Look for his book called Baseball Junkie, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of a World Series Champion. Were you a power hitter or considered to be a power hitter? Because I know in the early part of your career at Tampa Bay and even at Houston and Baltimore, you went deep an awful lot.
You know what? When I was in high school, my senior year, I hit 300 with one home run. One. I had to. I was not recruited by any Division I college. I was a doubles machine. But I had to walk on to a junior college called Vernon Junior College. It was that year and that offseason prior to my freshman year at Vernon where I walked on, where I gained 25 pounds of muscle, ate like a pig, and just worked out twice a day. And, you know, I was an animal that before that season. I gained 25 pounds, and that little skinny 185 kid out of high school blossomed up to over 200, 6'4". And that doubles, all those doubles turned into home runs. So I often tell high school kids, if they're not hitting for power, college kids even, that if you hit a lot of doubles, and you're a guy that's bouncing the warning track and you still haven't hit that growth spurt yet and you haven't got strong enough yet, keep working because it's there. You just got to keep working, get stronger, and those doubles will turn into the homers.
When you were in the major leagues, and again, we go back to confidence, were you challenged that way? And when did some of the problems that you ended up having later in your career manifest itself?
You're talking of the anxiety.
Right.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, man. In the book, it's called Baseball Junkie. And you'll know why when you read it. I got hooked up really, really bad on these pills called Adderall. And
right.
For those of you guys out there know what Adderall does to you, you may or may not know. It basically just, it's almost like a pill form of cocaine. And so 2009, I was introduced to those. Prior to that, though, I was one of those guys that hung out with the guys and pretty much my whole career and wasn't afraid to go out and let loose at nighttime and have a few beers. And I hit a lot of insecurities inside through alcohol. And then I was introduced to Adderall. And for whatever reason to me, I don't know what it was. The first time I took it, I knew I was going to take it the rest of my life. And it turned me into a monster. Off the field, I played great on the field. But off the field, I was a living nightmare. I couldn't go to sleep till 5 in the morning because I was so hopped up. The only way I can get going again the next day is take another pill. So staying out late, almost lost my family. My wife filed for divorce at one point. I'm happy to report now we're back together and better than ever. But it was a battle, man. And when she filed for divorce in the offseason of 2011, I mean, I was broken. I was broken. I was crying myself to sleep at night, doing things off the field I never thought I'd do in a million years. And we worked through it. She promised to take me back if I went clean. You know, I talked about had to go to rehab. Agreed to go to rehab in the offseason while I'm a Giant after we won the World Series, kept that pretty hush-hush. And my wife took me back, and I played that entire 2012 season clean. For the first time in my life, I'm playing baseball without drugs or alcohol. And I'm out there in the first month of the season absolutely terrified because I was masking all this pressure all these years with pills and alcohol. And I just had a complete meltdown at 3 in the morning in New York. Panic attack at 3 in the morning, went to go take a piss in the bathroom. I'm walking back to my bed. It felt like I was having a heart attack. I don't know what a heart attack feels like, but that's what I thought it was. I couldn't slow my heart rate down. I started freaking out. The only thing I could think of was getting my bag packed and going to the lobby and getting the hell out of Dodge. Went to the airport, flew home to Tampa to see my family. I'm having a complete panic attack for like 4 hours on the plane. I land the next day. I go to a psychiatrist. Full-blown anxiety disorder. They pumped me full of Xanax the entire 2012 season. I've lost my job to Brandon Belt, and we're winning the World Series in 2012 in Detroit. Everybody's celebrating. I'm a bench player. I barely made the playoff roster. We're celebrating on the field, and I got to tell you, I could have cared less. I knew right then and there my career was over. So that's kind of the end of my career there, but that anxiety and depression carried into my retirement, and But I've learned how to battle it. I've learned how to deal with it. I'm not saying I don't have my bad days. Even like talking about this stuff sometimes brings up bad memories. And so I feel that coming on, but I have the tools to be able to kick it back. So it does not control my life anymore.
Let me share with everybody from the promotional material on this book called Baseball Junkie. This is what it says. Baseball Junkie is the story of a man who seemingly has everything, a place in Major League Baseball history, success, fame, money, and a beautiful family, and yet finds himself staring straight at a loaded .357 Magnum contemplating suicide. It is the story of Aubrey Huff, two-time World Series champion who reached the pinnacle of Major League Baseball before retiring in 2012, earning more than $60 million playing the game. Why would a man who has achieved a level of success most men only dream about find himself laying on his back in his bedroom closet one morning, wearing nothing but his underwear and weeping? That's powerful.
Yeah, man, it just goes to show you that I don't care. You know, everybody in college, I remember in high school, college, I dreamed of money, fame, success, material wealth, beautiful, hot girl, everything. That is my definition of success growing up. And I'm willing to bet that's many people's vision of success, but I'm living proof that, and I attained all that stuff and then some, more than I could ever possibly imagine. I should have been the happiest guy in the world, retired at 36 years old, two World Series championships, $60 million to make, a beautiful wife living in San Diego in a gated community. But for some whatever reason, I could not be happy. I was miserable. I was having anxiety during the day, depression at night. And it got so low that you're right. I was in my closet and I had a gun to my head. And it was at that moment where I remember my dad was murdered by the exact same .357 Magnum when I was 6 years old. And that kind of snapped me out of it. I put the gun down on the ground. I started crying. And I'm a small kid from Texas and shy kid from Texas. And I was growing up in the Bible Belt. And knew about God, believed in God, but I sure wasn't living for him. And it was in that moment where I dedicated my life to Christ. And there is an element of this book that's faith-driven towards the very end. You know, it's not a Christian book by any means. But for me, the biggest thing for me was to get that element of faith back in my life. And the minute I did that, it didn't happen overnight. But that was the first and foremost thing I knew. I was heading toward the positive direction. And it's really saved me.
One of the things that I've learned over the years is in talking to athletes and people in general is that when they go through crisis, that they learn something about themselves that they did not know before. As you look at this moment and look back and where you are now, what have you learned about yourself, Aubrey?
Well, I learned that I was never really a man. I was just a scared to death little boy inside. I mean, you see this guy out there and, you know, it's funny. You look at me now, I have 10 tattoos all over my body. I have a big beard growing, the Wolverine-type beard, and I'll frost-tip my highlights in my hair and, you know, and just wear tight shirts, look like a badass, right? But deep down inside, that was all a front to look secure, to look manly. And deep down inside, I was just scared to death every day. And I think that's why I just buried myself in alcohol and drugs. And it overran my life. And I think the biggest thing I learned is, you know, I finally learned – you know, how to be a man. And, you know, even though I didn't have a father growing up, I've learned through this experience that, you know what, I may not have an earthly father right now, but I do have a father in heaven, and that's the guy that I look to now.
Does it bother you that when you look back and think about baseball, a game that you had a passion for, that you loved to play, that you weren't able to enjoy it as much as you could have because of this?
Well, the one regret I have, and I look back at it now, and I'm absolutely amazed, and I thank God every day I was able to do as good as I did in baseball. I mean, I look back at it now, and I'm not even going to lie to you. I mean, there wasn't a time where I don't think I went to the park hungover. Very few times. And, you know, I hit 242 career home runs, won two World Series, had a .275 batting average, and almost 1,000 RBIs in the big leagues. That's a pretty darn good career. But, you know, I look back at it, and I'm like, man, if I just would have had any type of real confidence, if I would have just taken care of myself, you know, had some fun, no doubt. I'm not saying to be a saint, but take care of myself, get my workouts in, which I hardly ever did, and just take care of myself and see what I could have done on the field. I mean, I am absolutely convinced I could have been a Hall of Fame type of player. But, you know, I think, you know, we all have our journey and, you know, things happen for a reason. And I think God can use bad situations and turn them into good. And I think that, you know, the situation I've gone through right now, he's turning that situation that I had that was all bad. And right now, it's turning into good through this book.
What would you like people to take away from the book?
I just hope they're inspired. I think the underlying theme when I first started writing this book was I just wanted to get my story down. And the overlying theme is I kept reading it and writing it, kept coming back to anxiety and the depression. And to me, that's huge. I mean, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to battle in my life. It's even harder to get in the big leagues was to battle this anxiety and depression. So I want people to read it. I mean, there's millions of people all over the world that think they're alone going through this anxiety, this depression. I thought that. And I thought I was the only one going through it. You're not alone. And through this book, you're going to read tragedy. You're going to read funny stories. You're going to read a lot of things that make you cry, make you cringe. But in the end, I hope you're inspired. And to let you know, especially the people out there that have struggled the way I do, and I know you're listening because the numbers suggest it, and so many of us hold it inside and think the biggest thing we can do is to just talk about it. Find somebody that's gone through it. Talk about it. Get it off your chest. Don't hold it in, because I did that for the longest time, and it almost ended my life. So for people that out there are struggling, that's the people I want to touch.
Tell me a little bit about, you have a couple of places where people can connect with you, and also you can give them information and everything. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very much of a social media guy until I came out with a book. So I just opened up some social media, and you can follow me on Twitter at Aubrey_Huff, Facebook at Aubrey L. Huff, and then Instagram at, let me see here, HuffDaddy76. There you go. So, but yeah, you can reach out to me in those forums. I do a lot of Twitter question Q&As. I did one just the other day. I'll probably do one a week. And just we're launching the book in February, and up till then, we'll be doing a lot of Q&A.
Aubrey, I want to thank you very much for being so honest, so open, and talking about your life as well as your career. This is going to be a wonderful book, and I appreciate the time you've given me. And I hope you'll come back sometime, because I think the message that you have about baseball but also about your life is an important one. Take care, my friend, and I'll talk to you shortly.
Great speaking with you. Thank you very much.
Aubrey Huff, again, outfielder, infielder, played 13 seasons in the majors for Tampa Bay, Houston, Baltimore, Detroit, and San Francisco, but he won 2 World Series championships while playing for the Giants. We continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.